They're excited about Syrup Sunday. Rejoice always, says St. Paul. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Those are not questions or offers to the faithful. These words are not even helpful thoughts to make life less difficult. For the people of Thessalonica, these are commands from their spiritual leader. In Paul's time, spiritual leaders had much more influence than is the case today. And the command for today is to rejoice, which may hold more weight than we initially perceive. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Those are the directions given. And we might take issue with this, given our nature of wanting to be in control and questioning every precept with which we are presented. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. There are times in our lives and in the world that seem to demand anything but rejoicing and emote anything but thankfulness. Certainly there are historically notorious events like Hitler's actions in Germany or 9/11 here. Those events that demand our attention and require us to wonder how we can possibly rejoice always or give thanks in all situations. Those situations and others seem to be so far from anything we can imagine that would inspire us to rejoice or give thanks. And yet, that is the expectation. That even in the worst of times and even in the most difficult moments, we find cause to rejoice and give thanks. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine yourself in your darkest hour rejoicing or giving thanks? Can you imagine in your darkest hour reaching out to God and realizing that God is right there reaching back toward you? That would give cause for rejoicing. And as we reach out in whatever state and whatever place we find ourselves, God is reaching out toward us all the more. And so we can rejoice and pray and give thanks. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians continues, "Do not quench the spirit." We might imagine that we're immune from that. Quenching the spirit sounds like a serious offense, something that we would never intentionally be a part of. And that is true. There are few who would intentionally quench God's spirit. But the Spirit of God is a wild and unwieldy power of God that urges us out of our comfortable existence and moves us to do those things that are questionable in the eyes of the world. Do we quench that Spirit? Paul continues, "Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every evil." Okay, we say we give St. Paul a nod of assent. That all sounds easy enough, or just blah. It has no bearing on our daily lives. Prophets are ancient history. In the best case scenario, they had words for the ancient people of God, and we are not those people. We don't have any reason to listen to this. It's all well and good, but these words are not for us. Perhaps the words of St. Paul would have more impact today if we heard them in this way. Listen to those who claim to speak prophetic language, those who claim to hold the truth about the word, but be sure to test what they are saying against what you know to be true of God and of Jesus. Do not be swayed by convincing voices that do not speak the voice of truth. Hold fast to what is good are the words that follow Paul's urging that the people of God pay attention to the prophets, so much so that they know what is good. Hold fast to what is good. That's a line that's beloved of our church, whether we've actually been able to name that as truth or not. Those of us who have been in the Episcopal Church for many, many years or our entire lives deeply resonate with this phrase. So much want to hold fast to that which is good. The question that begs to answer is, what is that which is good? I imagine if we pose that question to our entire Grace Church family, the answers would be wide and diverse. That in itself, that wideness and diversity, is what is good that is worth holding fast. Our world is changing rapidly, perhaps more rapidly than it ever has. I'm not sure that that's true, but I am sure that our world is changing. And unless we open ourselves to be changed, we will be stagnant to the point of death. Our bishop has taken in the phrase from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, hold fast to that which is good, as part of his blessing. He has also added, sing to the Lord a new song. It is a real attempt to balance our need to hold fast to that which is good in our heritage and history and open ourselves to the Spirit of God that we are told not to quench. As long as we are engaged with God and encouraging of God's Spirit to move among us, we will not falter, nor will we fall short. We are in the season of watching, waiting, and paying attention. We're called to look out into our world and see the places that God is breaking in anticipation of Christ's final return. In this time, we have voices of those crying out for us to prepare a way, to be ready, to make the roads straight and the valleys filled. For those of us that hear these words as more than we can possibly imagine, as adding burdens that we cannot bear, the call to prepare to notice the good, the moments in which we can rejoice, to pay attention to that which is good, not to that which we think is not up to our standards. For the Christ child to be ushered in once again, we must first acknowledge that he will come in whatever way that is manifested. We must also be a part of that ushering. We must be aware, alert, and attentive, and we must open ourselves and allow ourselves to rejoice, to give thanks, to hold fast to that which is good, and at the same time, sing a new song to the Lord. Amen.